For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
We are a little bit tired, a little bit loopy today.
A little jet lagged.
But we're extremely happy. And that's because we just got back from Mexico City from El Festival Vive Latino 2012. And El Festival Vive Latino is one of Latin America's biggest Spanish rock and alternative music festivals.
Over 200,000 music fans gathered to celebrate some pretty legendary artists and to discover some new bands from across the Spanish-speaking world.
And we were there. Today, we're going to talk to you about our favorite acts from the festival. Felix, I want to start off with some of our biggest, brightest stars. Here's Café Tacuba. ¿Cómo te extraño, mi amor? ¿Por qué será? Me falta todo en la vida si no estabas. ¿Cómo te extraño, mi amor? ¿Qué puedo hacer? Te extraño tanto que voy a enloquecer. Very special moment when Café Tacuba took the stage on the second day of the festival.
So let's set the scene. There are four different stages within this large sports complex. Some of them are small, some of them are kind of small, but the biggest one is the main arena where all the headliner acts play, and that's where we saw Café Tacuba.
And they gathered over 90,000 people. Café Tacuba is a legendary, iconic Latin American rock band from Mexico. And they started off during the golden era of Latin rock, which was in the 90s. But they're still going strong. And, you know, most of the fans at the festival were rockers, you know, rocked out kids. But when Café Tacuba hit the stage, even the security guards and the cleaning people were singing along to this song and dancing. Everyone loves Café Tacuba. And they had been absent from this festival for 2 years. Something that struck me about them is that they have such a special rapport with their audience. It's almost like they're in their audience's living room having a personal conversation with each member of that audience. You know, they're just like, hey, did you miss us? How are you?
People loved Café Tacuba and that performance. It was really spectacular to be on the ground, in the floor, in the crowd, and being swept up in that energy. It was really quite amazing.
The last night, the closing Latin band was Molotov, and that's a seminal Mexican rock band. In fact, they're a rap rock quartet. People should think about them like almost like a more political Mexican Beastie Boys. And here they are doing Gimme the Power. La policía te está extorsionando, dinero. Pero ellos viven de lo que tú estás pagando y si te tratan como a un delincuente. Gente que le gustan las migajas, yo por eso me quedo.
porque nadie le interesa. La gente de arriba te detesta. Hay más gente que quiere que caigan sus...
I would call Molotov sort of a second generation rock and español band, given, you know, Maldita Vecindad, Café Tacuba, Caifanes from Mexico, kind of that first wave, that golden era that you talked about in the early 90s. The Molotov came just slightly after them.
Well, they came in the mid-90s. And what's interesting about Molotov compared to Caifanes and all those groups is that they are so intensely political. I mean, this song, Give Me the Power, is basically saying every structure, every governmental structure in Mexico needs to be torn down and rebuilt. This is crap, okay? And they're extremely political. They're also extremely crass and gross. You know, I can't cite a lot of examples on air, but one of their albums, Donde Jugarán Las Niñas, which is a play, kind of a spoof on Maná's Donde Jugarán Los Niños, features the cover, features a girl in her schoolgirl outfit with her panties around her ankles. You know, it's very risque stuff, very, very crass, and it rubbed some people the wrong way, but they came into Mexico at a very tumultuous time to be a politically outspoken band. I mean, the mid-90s were a time of intense change in Mexico. You know, you had the PRI, which is the party that had ruled for decades, was just putting all this pressure about to burst. You had the EZLN, the Ejército Zapatista, which had declared war against the state of Mexico. And on the U.S. side, you had Operation Gatekeeper, which was really shutting that down. So there was all this pressure brewing in Mexico, right? And here comes this band, and they just talk about it, and people loved it. And, you know, in fact, Molotov has an upcoming documentary. I really want us to have them on as guest DJs, which is called Give Me the Power. And it's named after this song, and it's about how the hell, during such an oppressive time in Mexico, this band could just shine a light on everything.
And that was reflected in the live performance, because they really rocked the house on the night that they played. Okay, one of the bands that I know you really wanted to see was a reunion of a band from Argentina that you were very, very excited about.
Ilia Curiaki and the Valderramas, the funk rap duo from the 90s. And as I was getting ready to see them, I started to think that, you know, I've always said on this show that Ilia Curiaki was way ahead of their time. They were doing music that it was very advanced, okay? And I've been re-listening to a lot of old Outkast records. Huh. And I just started to think that in a weird way, Ilia Curiaki was kind of like Outkast before Outkast became big here in the U.S. They rocked, and they came back with that good, it's kind of cheesy porno music almost, but with a genuinely bizarre and erotic lyrics. I mean, bizarre. You know, talking about, I can't even say it on the air, honestly, but why don't we listen to one of their most famous songs, which this really got the crowd moving. This is Culo, but not Culo as in C-U-L-O, which means butt. Culo as in C-O-O-L-O. So don't send any complaint letters.
Simplemente le brindo ritmo al mundo perro. Tengo el infierno genital y su cuerpo suba. Su transgresión es digital, es como una pluma. Ya su culo brilla más y más. Me atrae con su dulzura y mi cuna dormirá. Quiero su uva. Imagino su sabor es chocolate. ¿Y qué le gustaría que descubra la espuma de su vaso? Nos iremos lejos donde nadie vea.
You know, somebody said to me when I got back from the festival, said, oh, I heard Ilia Curiaki. They sounded kind of outdated. And I don't know, I think they sounded great. And they were playing, you know, they just got a reunion. They premiered one new song. They were doing their classic songs from the 90s. I guess I kind of don't get the concept of outdated music. Does good music have an expiration date?
You know, I guess because they are so tuned into a specific era and a specific time, almost like a 70s funk thing, they haven't grown, they haven't done anything new, as opposed to, you know, mining some new material and doing something in a different vein, because think about everything that's happened in music since then.
For sure.
You know?
Well, but to be fair, they premiered a new song, which was pretty cool.
You know, it can go either way. Okay, Jasmine, this was your first time in Mexico City. I've been there a number of times before, but I was really kind of tickled by the way you just fell in love with the city. What was it about it that made you feel so... Oh, you said you didn't want to come home. I'll let the cat out of the bag.
We had a problem because at the very last day, I think I was about to cry. I didn't want to come home.
You didn't pack to the last second.
Oh, yeah. Like, Felix was waiting for me in the lobby, and I was throwing my ¿cómo se dice? Secador de pelo.
The hair dryer.
My hair dryer. And you know, I think I arrived with, like, some socks hanging out of my luggage. Felix was actually really mad at me.
You were a mess.
Let's see. I guess, you know, it's a couple of things. Whenever, you know, I'm from Latin America. I lived in Latin America and never set foot outside of Latin America until I was... like, I was an adult. I was 18 or 19. And I guess whenever I go back to Latin America, I think I feel like a fish that returns to water and realizes that I can't actually breathe outside of water.
Uh-huh.
And it's that feeling of, I belong here. I'm among the other fishies. I don't want to go back to you know, whatever. You know, I'm a fishy. And but I also think there's something about Mexico City, you and I talked about it, which it's so magical but so real, and it's this perfect synthesis of what Latin Americans are, of what you and I are.
Sure.
It's this mix, a brutal mix that came about in very violent ways, nobody's denying that, of indigenous and European, and it's... you fit in.
There are so many levels to Mexico City and Mexico in general, but Mexico City in particular, because like you said, there's a mixture of cultures and backgrounds. And, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. It's like one of the biggest cities in the world. There's just a bunch of people, and it just goes on and on forever. And it just, so you get all the things that go along with that. But then there's like this, you know, absurd quality to it. You know,
yeah.
The ridiculous,
magical,
the sublime,
realism.
You know, I'm just reading writers. I'm reading Paco Ignacio Taibo, the crime writer. I read one of his books while we were there.
I was reading Juan Rulfo. Yeah,
and it's all about, you know, the absurdity of living there, but also I want to say the quirkiness. Like my father used to say, you know, it's like we walk slightly different. Mexicans do, you know, and it's just the way things, well, I mean, literally, but I mean, it's like, it's just the way things kind of take if you got to go from point A to point B, you stop somewhere in the middle and maybe have a taco or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a whole different mindset. And for me, being born here in the United States, but it's like...
But speaking of fish in the sea, you were really happy. You know, you were just...
It was like that's that part of me that's missing by living on this side. You know, even though I grew up here, I live here, I grew up here, but still, there's a part of me that's there, and I zero in on it.
And it's also, you know, we were reading these authors, Juan Rulfo, and who are you reading?
Paco Ignacio Taibo.
I mean, and I've spoken to people who are not Latin American who don't get magical realism. And I just feel like, I don't know, I guess magical, everyday life is magical realism in Latin America. It's bizarre and it makes no sense and it happens, you know?
It can certainly be romanticized, but, you know, but it's very real.
And it's very brutal.
It's a tough life sometimes. And a lot of it is reflected in the music, in traditional music, contemporary music. Even this new record that we're going to play, Carla Morrison, who's from Tecate, which is way in the north of the country, on the U.S. border, she taps into her roots. She stays close to her roots, and she taps into that Mexicanness for this new cut that we're going to hear from Carla Morrison.
This is the song Apague Mi Mente. She performed it live. We're going to hear the recorded version.
Carla Morrison played in one of the smaller venues. She didn't play in the main stage. She played in a smaller tent, a carpa. And I'd seen some other bands perform there, and they had a decent-sized crowd. But when Carla played there, it was overflowing with people. And I was amazed at how popular her music is there, because the crowd sang every song.
They loved her.
I moved from the front. I moved to the back. I moved around just to get a feel for the audience and the crowd. And It was the same all over, and which was impressive to me, because her stage presence, it's not a very upbeat, poppy sound. It is very much like this. It's very subdued, very moody, very dreamy, but intense, like a laser, and just zeroed everybody in. It was as if it was a living room performance. And outside in this big giant tent with hundreds of people. It was spectacular.
She has an almost like a Joni Mitchell stage quality to her. You know, like soothing and calm, but never boring. Always very intense and straight to the heart. And it's interesting because we've had Carla Morrison on our show, and she's expressed that she did the opposite of what a lot of young Latin artists do. A lot of young Latin artists, and not so young, push to cross over into the English language market. She did the opposite. She tried the English language market, she wasn't feeling it, and she went back to Tecate. And she's doing great there. I mean, people love her.
This new album is very emotional. It gets into the depths of feeling and sentiment, and it's spectacular in the way it delivers and presents all these different emotions. But I guarantee you, it'll just really bring you in and make you pay attention to every word, every syllable, and every melody. What Jasmine and I did when we were at Viva Latino was, like, we would sometimes go see the same bands, like Carla Morrison, Café Tacuba. We saw the same things. Other times we split up to go out and discover new songs and new bands. One of the bands we both really wanted to see was this band from Spain.
We've played Vetusta Morla on our show before, and the lead singer has such an interesting voice. It's almost, you know, in this world of technologically enhanced vocals, you hear someone like that, and you think, this can't possibly be what this man sounds like live, right? And it's definitely happened to us that, that we go see someone live and they sound like a dying goat. And, you know, you're just like, but the album sounded so good. What happened? Now, there was a moment in which I thought, is this guy doing like playback? I mean, he wasn't, for the record. He just sounds perfect. I mean, his voice is stellar. Vetusta Morla is stellar live. And Felix was kind of resting backstage, and I went to take some pictures. And then I get back there, and Felix is like, are you hearing this?
You know, Jasmine, one of the things that impressed me about this band is that, like you said, I was, by that point, I was a little tired from that day of running from stage to stage and from venue to venue. So I sat in the back in the press area and watched it. I can watch the monitor, but hear the band like 100 yards away inside the big arena, and watching them build that performance up in terms of energy and getting, reaching a point where at the end, where it just sort of crescendoed into this really spectacular performance.
Operatic.
It was very impressive, man. Those guys really know how to work the stage. They were very impressive.
Talk about bands that we didn't know about before we went to Vive Latino, but we discovered. And Puerquerama is one. First, let's listen to a song of theirs. Song Fin del Mundo, or End of the World. Now, in the beginning I talked about Molotov being very gross and crass. Porquerama makes Molotov look like really good schoolboys.
Okay, in a way, yeah.
In a way, because I mean, Porquerama is their whole aesthetic is really kind of like gross. I mean, they play with these pig masks. They take their t-shirts off at a certain point. They're very out of shape.
They're not svelte.
They're not okay. Svelte. They have a lot of piercings and tattoos, and they're just kind of dancing. Like, how do you say odaliscas? Belly dancers.
Yes,
right?
They're big guys.
And they had a really interesting line when they did that, when they took their clothing off and this really large man is kind of jiggling around and you're kind of laughing uncomfortably. And then he stops and he says something along the lines of, this body you see right here is less grotesque than the violence that's taking place in this country right now.
Their music definitely had a message. They're not from Mexico City, they're from Toluca, and the crowd was really eating it up. That was impressive for a band that was relatively unknown on one of the small stages again. Just the crowd was really into it and really into the message. Okay, next we're going to play some music from a band that we both saw that left me kind of raising my eyebrows like, what is going on here? But you really dug. This band is called Drama Queers. Okay, so picture this. We are in the audience and I'm dancing and Felix is just standing there with his arms folded across his chest, not
frowning.
Not completely, but I was like, because let me set the stage, okay? On the stage, there's a keyboard guy, bass player, drummer, and a guy playing a cello.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the musicians.
Sure.
And as I was turning around, take pictures of the crowd and kind of look around and get an idea of what people were thinking, the next thing I know, I looked up and there's a lady in a red leotard doing
an acrobat
and a hula hoop.
Yeah,
she's doing a hula hoop, and then there was another guy on stage left who
a clown.
He was sort of like, he had a clown nose,
and
he was doing this like a pantomime. At one point, like he changed into a swimsuit from a pair of long pants without taking his clothes off.
You were looking like, what the hell?
I
is
still don't know how
stage.
He did that. It was amazing. And then there was a guy in the fish head. There was a fish head jumping around.
Okay, I think what you're trying to say, I agree with you. I agree with you. Like, there was too much happening on stage, and it detracted from the music. I mean, the music is really good. The problem is, I do agree that when you looked on stage, it was like, okay, wow, there's a clown and a fish head and an acrobat and a guy in a dress playing the cello. And what is happening? I can't hear anything. Felix is pouting next to me.
I was looking on in amazement.
But wait, musically they are really good, and for all their goofiness. And by the way, I do want to say, I think it's refreshing among so many bands that take themselves so seriously, and there's this one band that's just really goofy.
And the way that guy changed from a pair of pants to a swimsuit.
You will never forget.
I'll never forget that, man. That's like, I don't know how
you
he did
ask
it.
Him, you should to have this, asked him for his technique.
To this day, man, it was pretty spectacular. It's funny.
It's Speaking of being goofy, this song is called Make Yourself a Clown.
Oh, there you go.
As Felix explained, a lot of times he was at one stage watching one band and I was at another dancing to another band. This is a band that I really regret we didn't go see together because I think you would have loved it. This is, now I'm not sure how you pronounce this, if it's Urs Bajo el Árbol or URRS Bajo el Árbol. URRS, it means the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR. So I guess in English, the name of the band, to make it simpler, would be USSR Under the Tree. How about that?
That works.
I was absolutely mesmerized by this band's saxophonist. I mean, they have a lead singer and everything, but the saxophonist takes the show. He's a very wiry, scrawny guy with a huge afro. And at one point, he puts on like half of a skeleton, like a real skeleton mask, and he starts playing the saxophone. And he's a very good player, which is why I think you would have really enjoyed this show.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
And so they mix experimental music with just noise and a lot of jazz, a lot of trip-hop, progressive, psychedelic rock. According to their Twitter page, now you're going to like this, they say that they are a sound inside your head which you think you would never let out. Like the words that still don't exist. Like when you scream inside of your mind.
Okay, the next band can only get an honorable mention because they don't have anything out yet. And it sort of doesn't fall into our genre, but it was a very interesting band. It was called Jazztek. And it's obviously a mix on jazz and Aztec. a group of Mexican musicians from Mexico based in Los Angeles with a very almost straight ahead jazz quartet. And I saw them perform with some members of a band, of a different kind of a jazz fusion band called Screaming Headless Torsos, who I also discovered
there. Oh, Felix wouldn't stop talking about Screaming Headless Torsos. It was gross.
But it was really fascinating to watch these guys kind of bridge electronica and jazz. They're going to have an EP out in May, and it's vinyl. So I love them because they're jazz, and I love them because they're releasing something on vinyl. They're based in L.A. We can't play anything from them, but I just wanted to mention them because they, amidst all the rock and electronica and hip-hop, there was a very cool jazz band from L.A.
Honorable mention.
The other thing that was very exciting was there's around the perimeter of the main arena, there was like this giant walkway where they set up vendors, T-shirts, tacos, lots of tacos, beer stands. There was an area where they had a number of independent record labels selling albums. And I really wish you could have been with me on that. That was one of the days where we just sort of went off to explore on our own. But I found this label called Isotonic Records. And they describe themselves as being all about surf, rockabilly, and rock. They're based in Mexico City, and they turned me on to this album. It's an older album. It's from 2008. But this is the band called Los Twangers, and it really is all about that twanging guitar sound. I really fell in love with these guys.
Remind you that you can listen to every single song we played on today's show on our website, npr.org/altlatino.
And check out the photos on our trip on our Facebook page that mostly Jasmine took. I handed in a couple of them.
Felix was busy staring dreamily at Carla Madison.
Yeah. There are some of my photos there, but Jasmine did a great job of keeping us up to date on the Facebook page of what our trip was like. And we want to give special thanks to Jessica Goldstein and NPR Music for helping us pull this trip together.
Felix, you forgot something really important. We have a stream. We have a stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People can go to npr.org/altlatino and hear every single song we have ever played on our show.
I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. I might be here next week. I might have moved back to Mexico City.
Well, we'll do the show from there.
We will?
Yeah. We'll work it out. I'll make some calls.
Thank you. This has been Alt Latino.